So you may have noticed today is Transfiguration Sunday. Comes every year right before Ash Wednesday, which is Wednesday. And it brings the beginning of Lent. Ash Wednesday is the first day of Lent, and this next Sunday is the first Sunday of Lent. Transfiguration Sunday is, to say the least, one humdinger of a Sunday. It's got it all. It's got Jesus. It's got the disciples. It's got surprises. It's got mystery. It's got history. It's got scary movie kind of stuff, and it has God's voice as the narrator. Can you get any better than that? It's a big deal. The trouble is, it's a big deal that often doesn't get the notice that it really should. Now, one of the reasons for this is that this story is just kind of hard to get your head around. You know, Jesus just kind of lighten up like that. I don't know. I don't really like the idea of seeing Jesus lit up like that. It seems a little scary to me too. But nonetheless, that's the story. And because the story is so hard to get your head around, it makes it even harder to come up with a sermon that finds some kind of right words to describe what happened. To describe the power and majesty and the glory of Jesus right there in the middle of his humility and tenderness. But I want to try. We're not going to say I didn't give it the good college try. Because if I get it right, it's the perfect heart challenge for us, the perfect meditation as we prepare for Lent and Holy Week and Good Friday and Easter. So I'm going to try. But y'all have to help, okay? And that means you have to get out of your own heads this morning and just pretend that you are a disciple. Now, you can be any of them. You can be James, you can be John, you can be Peter, you can be all three of them. It doesn't matter at all. I just want you to click your heels together and pretend that you are at the foot of the mountain with Jesus. Are you ready? So this story of Jesus calling his three amigos, it's hard not to think that maybe these three were Jesus' most dependable. Maybe they were his favorites in a way. Peter, James, and John. He's called them to climb to the top of a very high mountain with him. And the story is recorded in all three synoptic gospels. And what that means is it's important. The people who put the Bible together, the writers of the gospels, they wanted us to hear this story, so it's included in all three of them. Today, Jim read from the book of Mark. And because it's Mark, it's making the story real compact. Yeah, do y'all remember Dragnet? You remember Sergeant Friday and what he said? Just the facts, ma'am. Just facts. Tyson doesn't remember Dragnet. So what is that woman talking about? But that's the way that Mark wrote. Just the facts. Just the facts. So one day, Jesus says, okay, come on, boys. Put on your hiking boots. Get out your backpacks. We are going to the mountains. Now, these three disciples, they were excited. They liked that because they were getting Jesus to themselves for the whole day. If you'll remember from having read the scriptures, when the 12 disciples, all of them got together, sometimes you didn't know exactly what was going to happen. They were more like teenagers than they were adult men. So they go up, they start, these three disciples, and as they're going up the mountain, they're chatting with Jesus, and they're laughing, and they're asking him a million questions all the way up. But when they get there, instead of enjoying a view from the top, and instead of maybe lying down and getting a little snooze in the noontime sunshine, this cloud descends on them. It's like the cloud was waiting for them to get there somehow. They weren't expecting it. And it's so dense, this cloud is, that they have to squint to see each other. But they don't have to squint to see Jesus. Because all of a sudden, there he is. And the only word you can think of is glory. Because his face and his whole being was shining like a light bulb. His clothes, says Mark, are wider than any bottle of Clorox could ever, ever, ever give. And as the disciples watch and marvel at Jesus and don't know what to think about Jesus, then here comes Moses and Elijah, greeting him and standing with him, huddling with him, talking with him. That this picture right here, the three of them standing together, it's this wonderful picture. It's the whole story. It's the whole story of the Jewish scriptures. Moses, who long ago had climbed a mountain, who had led the people, who had given the law, and Elijah, the representative of the prophets of God, and Jesus, the fulfillment of it all, the Son of God. It just didn't get any sweeter than that. And even though we're told that the disciples were scared to death, the Hebrew verb that's used here is kind of like the kind of scared we are when we see a really scary movie. That kind of scared. Even though they are genuinely afraid, they also know that something amazing is happening, something important, something crucial is going on. So they're torn. They want to run, but they also can't take their eyes off what they are seeing. Peter must really deep down inside want it to last forever. He must really not want it to end because he blurts out something that it's kind of to the effect of, hey, teacher, I tell you what, let me build your little town. I'll build three tiny houses, okay? And I'll build one for you and one for Elijah and one for Moses and y'all can move in and we can just stay here on the mountaintop forever. To which Jesus does not even give the courtesy of a reply. Then the cloud got even darker. It overshadowed them. It took over and made them shiver. And from the cloud, Mark tells us, came a voice. Now, I don't know what the voice sounded like. All I know is Morgan Freeman. And I'm going to say, you know, it was a voice that just was everything. And it said, this is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. And then, just like that, it was over. The cloud lifted and the sun returned. The birds started singing again. Moses and Elijah were gone. And the disciples saw no one but Jesus. And not the shiny lit up Jesus, but the back to normal Jesus, just as he had looked as they climbed the mountain together. Now this is just my little insertion here, my little hope. I like to think that they got to stay up on the mountain for a little while longer with Jesus. Maybe they had a picnic, you know, maybe they took a little nap in the afternoon, maybe they waded in the creek. But then Mark tells us they started down. And he says, as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Well, you know, they may not have told anyone, but don't you know they thought about that a lot? How could you not? Don't you know the three of them lay on their mats at nighttime and whispered about what had happened until they were able to fall asleep? Their teacher, their Jesus, their friend, all lit up like that, transfigured into something straight out of heaven, transformed into something that could only be called glory. And they couldn't get their minds off that voice that they heard. The voice that came out of the clouds. Believe what Jesus says. That's what God told them. Believe what he says. But they knew what he had said. They knew what God was talking about. Because it had only been a few days earlier that he had said it. And we know it too. If we go back one chapter in Mark, to chapter 8, verse 31. Here's what we read. And Jesus began to teach them. He began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. We just said that in the Apostles' Creed, didn't we? But now here's the part that I want you to kind of put in the back of your mind, stick down in your heart when you leave here. I want you to carry it around with you, if you would, all during the 40 days of Lent and all through Holy Week and especially on Easter morning. If you had been there, would you have believed what Jesus said? That he was going to have to suffer. That people were going to be mean to him. That they would turn on him. Would you believe that he was really going to have to die? Would you believe that he would rise again? I don't think Peter believed it, at least not right then. Not right then. I think Peter, instead of thinking about what Jesus had said, was thinking more about himself. I think Peter was being a little selfish. He wanted to keep Jesus for himself. You know? He wanted to wrap him all up and hold on to him. He wanted to make Jesus his possession. He wanted it to stay just like it was, with the little band of followers all safe and sound under his hand. Peter liked being a Jesus person. Huh. It made him feel like he was somebody. We like being Jesus people too, don't we? Now, this is a hard truth. But we're moving into Lent, and we're going to be facing a lot of hard truths. We like the ability to get to call ourselves Christian without making too many changes to the way we live our lives or what we believe or how we treat other people. When Peter heard Jesus say these words about his death and resurrection, he just didn't want to hear it. So you remember what he did. He pulled Jesus aside. Mark says he rebuked Jesus like Peter knew better than Jesus did. Right. Now you remember what Jesus said. You may not know it, but you remember it. Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking God's thoughts. You are thinking human thoughts." So what about us? What kinds of thoughts are we thinking? Are we thinking human thoughts? Or are we thinking God's thoughts? We love this church. Everyone who attends their church loves it. But are we the church because our parents were the church? Because it's expected of us to be a part of the church? Because it's the right thing to do? Because we feel good about being here? Because we think it's going to get us to heaven when we die? Those are human thoughts. Or are we the church because Jesus gave his life on a cross? So that we could know how very, very much we are loved just as we are. And he rose again to empower us, to light us up, and to show us how we can transfigure the world by dying to self and loving others. Those two are very different if you think about it. One is about us. The other is about God. So Lent begins on Wednesday. I'm going to smear ashes on you for it. I'm going to try to get them on there as well as I can in the shape of the cross. Sometimes more looks better than others, so I will do my best. And I'm going to say something when I put those ashes on. from ashes to ashes, from dust to dust. And what I will be saying is that we are nothing without the cross. And I want to invite us all to consider in advance how we are going to navigate. As we journey toward the empty tomb, are we going to follow Peter? Or are we going to follow Jesus? It makes all the difference right now. Later on, Peter would get it together, but right now it makes all the difference. Now, we all want to stay on the mountaintop, don't we? We want to stay with all shiny and powerful Jesus. He'll take care of us and make everything work out right. It's safe up there on the mountain. Nothing can get us up there on the mountain. Not even the cross can get us up on the mountain. That's what Peter must have thought when he said, I'll build you those houses. But Christianity is not about the mountaintop, is it? It's about the valleys. If our walk with Jesus was just about mountaintops, then he wouldn't have been born in a cave for the animals to a teenage peasant parents from a backwater town. He would have been born in a palace. If the story of Jesus was just about mountaintops, he wouldn't have been executed like a common criminal. He wouldn't have been hung on a tree, mocked and scourged. Now, if our faith was just about the mountaintop, Jesus' followers wouldn't have been a ragtag band of disciples who fell asleep at the drop of a hat, who doubted at the slightest turn of fortune, and who weren't paying one bit of attention when Jesus needed them the most. No, this Christian faith of ours is definitely the faith of the valley. We know that, don't we? Deep down inside, we know that. If we measure the depth and success of our faith by the number of mountaintop experiences we can truthfully claim, well, I know I wouldn't do very good, and I will bet you would be right there with me. If we've wondered, have I truly been touched by the Holy Spirit during this worship service? Or if we think about whether or not Jesus has spoken words to us, or if we've seen visions or spoken in tongues, most of the time the answer is going to be no, right? And I want you to know that that's okay. Because if we measure our faith not from the mountaintop, but from the depth of the valley, it's a whole different story. Because down here in the valley where we live, even when there's pain, even when there's hurt, and all the rest of it, I want you to know that sacred things are happening. They're happening all the time. The holy can and the holy does pop up everywhere. You having a fight with a friend right now? I can promise you that the holy is in there if you look hard enough. Right in the heart of your fear where your old age is taking you. I know I worry about that. But I know that the holy is in it, even death. None of us knows what that would be like, but we need not be afraid. The holy is right in the deep parts of our soul as we struggle to overcome all that life puts on us. We get tired down here in the valley, right? We get nervous, we get apprehensive, we get depressed, we get all those things. We get frustrated, we get scared. But Christ is with us in it all. In the very simple and mundane things of life. Like when we're doing the laundry. Or we're working on the truck. Or we're returning a library book. Or we're baking a pound cake. Or we're driving to our sister's house. God is with us, loving us, and teaching us, even in the midst of just the ordinary things, to look for ways to love one another. That's powerful. It's nothing but holy. When a grandchild calls us up and says, can I talk to you? I have a problem. It's nothing but holy when a bird lands on our windowsill when we're lonely. And any of you who have had the privilege of caring for an elderly parent as they walked toward the doors of heaven, you know about that holiness in that. See, holy is not only on the mountaintop. It's right down here in the valley called life. No, don't miss it. Don't be looking for it somewhere else. You've got it right with you. Obey the voice from God. Believe what Jesus said. I will die. But after I die, then I will rise again. And when I do, Katie bar the door. I don't know if Jesus would have said that, but I bet he would if he had heard it. Because I will be with you in ways that I cannot be here on earth. I will not leave you orphaned. We've got a lot to do together. So here's what I'm going to say. And I'm going to try to hold on to it during the event, and I hope you will too. Jesus was right. What was going to happen? He did die. He died to overcome the darkness of the world. He died to overcome earthly empires and greed and hatred and all the other evil of the world. He died. He chose to for us. But he didn't stay there. He did rise again, just like he said he was. And he's here with us in every breath, in every fear, in every laugh, in every love, in every deep desire to do just some little something to make this earth less like human sin and more like Jesus. Don't miss him. Don't miss your opportunity to walk with him. Look for him down in the cracks and the crannies of your life and the very, very places you would think he would never go. Look for the little shards of light all around you. Because I promise you it is there. But look, just up on the mountaintop with fancy churches and all the gizmos that go on to make everything seem bigger than they are. Don't look on mountaintops only, but look in the regular, normal routine of the very, very simple days of our lives. That's where you'll find it. And I've come to believe that that's where a true figuration takes place anyway. That's where the light shines, way deep inside. Way deep inside. And all God's people said, Amen and Amen. Will you pray with me? Precious God, as we prepare our hearts for Ash Wednesday, for Lent, for all the Sundays that are a part of that, and then for Holy Week, as we remember the death of Jesus. And then into Easter as we celebrate the rising of the Christ. Be with us. Help us to take it seriously. Help us to take a chance to seek the truth. We thank you. Amen.